right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here on a Sunday night slash Monday morning. Our show begins now at 11. We go to 11 to 4. And we got a bunch of other great topics, fun topics that we're going to get to, like the best ensemble whodunit movies in honor of the release of Knives Out. We got some movies that were ruined by a PG-13 rating and weird adventure inventions from 2019. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. But let's welcome to the show right now comedian, author, producer, Josh Gondelman, and you can see him at Zany's this week, starting tonight at 8 through Friday. That's the Zany's in Chicago on Wells. He's written for a bunch of great places, and he's won 2 Peabody Awards, 3 Emmy Awards, 2 WGA Awards for his work on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And he's also a guy that, that created the award-winning Modern Seinfeld Twitter account. And you know how I feel about Seinfeld. So we'll probably talk a little Seinfeld with him, too. But let's welcome to the show. Josh, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. How you been?
I've been great, thanks. Good. Yeah, things have been really lovely with the holiday and such. It was very nice. And yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. And have you worked Zany's before?
I have. I love it. I'm, like, always very excited to come back. There's just such, like, a good energy in the room. It, like, reminds me, I started stand-up in Boston, and Chicago audiences remind me of Boston audiences in that, like, they want to have a good time, but, like, if you're not good, they will have that good time at your expense.
Yeah.
So I kind of like the tension of, like, you need to show dominance like a bear.
Yeah. Yeah. I did stand up for a little while, and I worked exclusively at Zany's, the one on Wells, and it's a great room. It's really good. It's also really tight too. At any point you could kick over some, while you're standing on the stage, you could kick over somebody's drink. And
yeah, I like that. People right on top of you. Right. There's just like a really great, like, kind of crackling electricity in the room. It's a lot of fun.
And the first 6 tables you can see because they're lit, which is So how long you been doing? You mentioned that you're from you started stand up in Boston. How long you been doing it?
Oh my gosh, a shamefully long time at this point. I started when I was in college between my freshman and sophomore year, summer of 2004. So I guess it's like 15 years this year, which feels preposterous.
Yeah. Now, what's the comedy scene like in Boston?
I love it. You get to play all kinds of rooms, and you don't have to range that far. Like, there are the downtown clubs that are like people on date nights, and then there's kind of the alternative rooms that are maybe a little younger, a little more, a little less like general in the audiences, and then you get to play like Elks Lodges and PTA fundraisers, so you really get experience in front of every kind of crowd.
Wait. What's it like to do stand up at a PTA thing?
Oh my gosh, I think it's always very fun. I feel like gigs like that, they always go, well, it's parents, so let's be very clean. And then the first person who swears, everyone goes crazy and likes it.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah, they want to get a relief from, I guess, being nice all the time and clean.
Yeah, I mean, I used to teach preschool. That was my day job when I lived in Boston, and the preschool teachers I worked with were like the loveliest, kindest, gentlest people. And then in addition to that, when you got out of the classroom, they would drink and swear like sailors.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It was great.
That's really funny. Preschool teacher. How long did you do that?
I taught full-time for 4 years, but I'd been like an assistant as a summer job for years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I moved to New York, I stopped teaching in the classroom and I just like tutored standardized test stuff to make ends meet.
Oh, okay. All right. You like doing that then, obviously.
I did. I really liked it. I liked that when I was at work, I felt like I was really making like not like a global difference, but like I could be really helpful to someone, you know, like while I was at my day job. And then when I finished, I was like, oh, now I get to do comedy, my favorite thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And then when did the writing start?
When I moved to New York in 2011, I started doing a bunch of like little freelance magazine things and website, personal essays. And The goal was to eventually write for TV. So I did a little work for Billy on the Street in the summer of 2013, which was really cool. It was just like a very short amount. But I like.
And by the way, I could watch him scream at people for hours. I just think
He's so funny. He's so funny. And like somehow the premise is so simple, but like his level of disdain is like so wonderful and funny.
Yeah, I know. Some people have less patience for Billy Eichner than I do, but I seriously.
Oh, I think he's great.
Oh, I think he's great too. I think he's absolutely hilarious.
So funny.
Yeah.
And so I did a little work summer of 2013, and that was kind of like my first taste of breaking into TV writing. And then I got hired to do digital and social media stuff at Last Week Tonight in 2014, which I did for a year, and then stayed for the 4 years after that as a staff writer for the show.
Let's talk about Last Week Tonight. It's so brilliant. It is so brilliant. What was it like working on that show? What was it like working with John Oliver?
It was awesome. I mean, John's great. He's so smart and thoughtful and so funny. And so it's real and works so hard. So it's like really this top down culture of like, okay, the standards are very high and, you know, we expect you to be there doing the work and like working on it, making sure you get the jokes right, get the story right. So it was like a real clinic in comedy writing that is like really purposeful and like specific.
You know, one of the things I love about that show, besides everything, is I love the fact that they focus on one story. I mean, he does a couple of headlines, then obviously you do the main story, and it is so beautifully researched. How much time was put into that, and how many people would do the research on these stories, because they're so full of details, and you know, he's really thorough. He talks about one subject for like 23 minutes.
Yeah, it's like kind of a cool, different pacing and vibe, which I really liked. And it, like, I mean, you were writing like sitcom length scripts, but they would be about like municipal taxation district.
Right.
So those would take, ideally, I think 4 weeks was what they tried to allot for each story. And there were always 2 to 3 writers, someone like a producer from the research department, like a deputy producer from that department, someone just in charge of footage. And then John and Tim Carvel, who's an EP there, were like super hands-on with every story.
Yeah. Man, oh man, 4 weeks. It doesn't surprise me. That doesn't, you know, the amount of, you know, how thorough every week is with just the one subject doesn't surprise me. It's 4 weeks worth of work.
Yeah, it was cool to see how that juggled too, where like John and Tim would be working, kind of getting that week's story into shape, but then they would also be meeting with people, like outlining a story that was almost a month away.
Yeah,
and it was just a lot of balls to keep in the air.
Yeah, I bet. Man, you know, I'll tell you something. Some of the big stunts that have ended those shows, like you guys had some. How did those come up?
Some of it was kind of built. Some of it would be built, like baked into the story. Like, oh, this seems like an interesting reason to do this story, because we'll get to do like a companion stunt. And then sometimes it would be, well, we have this long dry or sad story, or this long like like really emotional story, and we need to find a way to kind of like land the plane that feels satisfying for the viewers.
Yeah,
who would fit something onto the end. So it could happen, it could go in either order.
Because I watch the show every week, obviously, and I have for years. Did you happen to see the big musical number that he did a couple of weeks ago, Eat Crap Bob?
It's incredible.
Isn't it unbelievable?
I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. And it's great. I mean, like, he's so great and funny and, like, pulled off a musical number. And Chris Werner, who directs and produces their field stuff, did an amazing job directing it. He's just, like, an absolute dynamite king of that, and you can just like, okay, you have, I don't know exactly what it was because it was there, but if you have 2 days to produce something that's a giant musical in Times Square. And it's just like, it's so fun. I love that stuff.
Yeah. And it was just so funny. And I also, one of the things I love about that show are just like, he's in the middle of, you know, talking about a subject and there's just like some really stupid throwaway joke. Those always crack me up, you know, because it's such a smart, well-researched, funny show, intelligent, and then he'll just do the stupidest throwaway jokes, and I think that that's great.
Yeah, I love that. I always loved writing jokes that were either like intricate nonsense or just like full-on stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my favorite thing because he speaks with such sincerity and gravitas when he's, you know, when he's being sincere, and then to get him to pivot into doing something that's just like full lunacy is so fun and like such a fun use of his like comedic voice and his like almost dramatic voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, listen, Josh, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Josh Gondelman is here. He is a comedian and he's a writer, and he's going to be live at Zany's starting tonight, December 2nd through Friday. At 8 p.m., and it's the Zanies on Wells Street in downtown. So there you go. We got more to talk about. We're also going to do some Seinfeld talk, too, because he has a Seinfeld Twitter feed, a Twitter account that we're going to talk about. And if you regularly listen to my show, you know that I kind of like Seinfeld, just a little. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Is that fog hat?
Yeah, a little fog hat there. It's a fog hat kind of morning.
Yeah, that's a fog hat Monday. That's what we like to call it. Fog hat Monday. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And our time has changed, in case you're wondering why you're not hearing the movie reviews right now. It's because we now start at 11 every Sunday through... every Sunday through Thursday morning, night, I should say, we start at 11 p.m. We go to 4 a.m. That's our new time slot, and we're very happy about it because we get to start a little bit earlier and spend an extra hour with you guys. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. And right now we are talking with Josh Gondelman, who is a comedian, an author, and a producer. You can see him perform at Zany's starting tonight, December 2nd through Friday. December 6th at 8 p.m. at the Zany's on Wells in Chicago. And let's welcome Josh. Josh, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. So you work now with DeJesus and Mero on Showtime. What's that like?
It's so fun. It's a very different experience than working for John. But DeJesus and Mero are also like incredibly smart and funny and wonderful. And so it's like, it's been really cool to switch gears and write for hosts with a different voice and like a kind of different format.
I think those guys are great. I think they're so funny and they stand out, and it's a terrific show. And I love when they make talk show appearances too. I think they're great.
They're fantastic talk show guests.
Yeah.
They're so funny, and you can like, they can plug in anywhere. They're like so at ease and have such great like breadth of knowledge and cultural references that they, you know, they can go on any other show and just like sit down and be hilarious.
It's got to be a different animal though, working with those guys as opposed to somebody like John Oliver, right?
Yeah, I mean, just the way the show is created, like the kind of vehicle that we build for those to drive is so much different. Where with John, it was so much about like intense, rigorous scripting so that what he's looking at in the teleprompter will be the show, like kind of to the syllable. And so it's very time sensitive and word sensitive. And with DeJesus and Mero, it's like a lot more picking. I mean, we're literally writing copy for the prompter that they're reading for the first time while they're saying it at the taping.
Oh, that's great. That's fun. That's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. And we're writing, you know, like different kinds of sketches, kind of more purely silly stuff. And it's been like a real exciting place to be for the first season, and I'm excited to come back for season two.
That's great, man. It's a terrific show. It's a terrific show. All right, so you created the modern Seinfeld Twitter account, and you closed it down. Do you get, you stopped tweeting on it, what, a couple of years ago, a few years ago?
Yeah, a few years ago. My friend Jack Moore and I co-created it, and it just kind of felt like it ran its course. It was really fun to do, and I'm so grateful that people liked it, but I also felt like, okay, how long are we going to, like, spend time tweeting fake Seinfeld plots?
Yeah.
You know, it almost felt like we would be clinging to it at a certain point.
Now, Complex.com just ranked the best episodes of Seinfeld, and obviously you're a Seinfeld fan.
I am.
And I was going to look at this list. I'd throw some at you, but I actually think this is a really strong list, and oddly enough, their number one is also my favorite episode of all time.
Which
is the opposite, where George decides to do everything that his instincts tell him the opposite of.
Oh, it's great.
It's my favorite, because Costanza's my favorite character on the show, and when the storyline kind of emphasizes George Costanza, it always makes me laugh. But one of the other things about that, what's amazing about that episode is there's so many classic things going on. Besides the main plot point with George doing the opposite and, you know, getting a job at the Yankees and getting a beautiful girlfriend and all that stuff, Elaine starts turning into George. Everything's going wrong for her. Jerry is even Steven, and Kramer goes on the Kathy Lee, the Regis and Kathy Lee show with his coffee table book on that. So there's nonstop classic stuff in that episode.
So funny, and they like always put the plot so dense, right? The A story and the B story underneath were always like so dense and interesting, and it wasn't just like Jerry has a date but he's worried he may not be on time,
right?
It's like it's always just like full madness, and I love that.
Yeah. What are your favorites? What are some of your favorite your episodes of Seinfeld?
One of my all time favorites was. And this, I think about this all the time because to me it's like a definitive George Costanza moment, was when Jerry is trying to break up with his girlfriend and date her roommate.
Yeah.
And George says, well, you should propose that you all have a threesome together.
Right.
And Jerry is like deeply nervous about whether he does, and they both say yes.
Yeah.
Which is like not the intent. And then Jerry like freaks out and can't and won't go through with that because it wasn't the goal.
Right.
And I always like, it's one of the definitive, like, all, if you listen to George Costanza and you're just going to take what he says at face value, right? You're like, okay, maybe this will work.
Yeah.
But then if you take a step back and look at it from like 10 feet away, you go, this is truly the worst idea I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
And any person who would do it is like a devious, lunatic.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. Like I said, he's my favorite. Cassandra's my favorite character on the show.
Incredible.
And I also, I mean, obviously I love, his parents are unbelievable. So funny. And every scene with them is hilarious. But yeah, that's a great one. And, I also love that episode when they're sitting in the coffee shop trying to think of how they can do the switch. And there's that montage of where they're just like coffee after coffee after coffee, tearing up napkins and all that stuff, trying to figure out how they can do it.
Right. It's so funny. And like, it's just so full of bad ideas that are like, I think at my worst in life, like whenever I have an impulse that's like weird or dark, I'm like, oh, this is like a Costanza impulse.
Yeah.
Like, I know, you know, I'm never like, I should just fight this guy on the street, but I will be like, okay, if I learn this person's name, I can then talk to them as if we know each other, and then they'll be weirded out that I know them, and they'll forget, they'll think they forgot where I know them from, and they will have this spiral. It's like always this like 18-dimensional chess that never worked.
Right, exactly. All of George's ideas are pretty bad. The thing about it is, one of the things that I mean, because it's an unbelievably rewatchable show. Like I've seen every episode of Seinfeld multiple times, and I still watch them every time they're on, and I still laugh. That's one of the things that I think is so special about the show, is that it's got this rewatchability that very few shows have.
Yeah. So many great jokes, so many like specific, and so many plot lines that you watch, you go, oh yeah, this one, or you forget that it's the same episode as another one. You
yeah.
Go, oh, this would too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It is. It really is great. So, you know, some of the other ones that they include here, they love the puffy shirt, which is, you know,
of course,
a classic. The soup Nazi.
Yeah,
it's a classic. One of my very favorites is the Hamptons. That's one of my very favorites of any episode. With because it had shrinkage, and it had you look breathtaking with the doctor calling everything breathtaking, and the ugly baby. Such a classic. And then and then he poaches the lobsters, like Kramer poaches the lobsters. It's just incredible. So it's one of my favorites.
Maybe my favorite single Seinfeld gag, and I've been doing this like with my dad for it must be legitimately 20 years, is the woman Jerry dated, where he and George would do impressions of the way her stomach crumbles.
Uh-huh.
Like, hello.
Yeah.
La, la, la. And like my dad and I have done that voice for like since that episode aired.
Yeah. That's fantastic. It's such a great show, and I still watch it. And of course, one of the landmark episodes in television history is The Contest.
Yes, of course.
And you know, and it's one of those episodes that like you watch it now and you're like, how in the hell did they get away with this? And it's such a great episode, and it's rewatchable. And of course, that one move where Kramer comes in, I'm out, when he slams the mic. It's just one of the legendary moments in sitcom history.
It's perfect, and you don't have to. They didn't have to say much, like, you know what I mean. Like that joke, he doesn't have to be explicit. It's just like the charge of like the intensity of what he's doing carries the whole thing.
It's so funny, and it's still on here in reruns, and I know that it'll continue to be on, and I never get sick of it. And was it fun for you to do that Twitter account?
Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, like, the source material is so good that it was fun to just kind of, like, come up with, how would these characters be reacting to the conveniences of the modern world?
Yeah. You know?
And so it was just, like, truly, we did it just for fun because it was a blast.
Well, really, really cool. Josh, big fan, and I think you're hilarious, and I like your writing very much. And you're going to be at Zany's tonight, starting at 8 p.m. on December 2nd through Friday, December 6th, and you're playing exclusively at the Zanies in Chicago. Have you played the other two Zanies here?
I haven't yet.
The Rosemont Room is great.
I've heard great things.
Yeah, the Rosemont Room is set up beautifully. It is a terrific room. So
cool.
If you get a chance, make sure you get there. Right, enjoy your time in Chicago, Josh.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me, Nick.
Okay, take care, buddy.